You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello, Robert Lee here, and a warm welcome from both myself and Ewan Murray as Joost Luiten quickly recovers from the blues of missing out on a home victory by winning the ISPS Handa Wales Open.
Of course, I wanted to win last week, but it makes up for this week, you know, this win that makes up for last week. And you just can do your thing here. In Holland, everything is a little bit more difficult, more tension, and sometimes it just helps when you're a little bit more in the shadow, and luckily it did this week.
We'll reflect with Joost shortly on that win and his chances of making future Ryder Cup teams. Runner-up Shane Lowry certainly believes both the Dutchman and him will eventually have their moment in the spotlight.
And yes, very close to the Ryder Cup team. He could easily be going to Gleneagles next week the way he's performed this year, but hopefully myself and himself will be in the next Ryder Cup team.
More from those gents shortly, and we'll also be hearing from both Ryder Cup captains and the European players who were in action at Celtic Manor, who admit it was hard to focus ahead of Gleneagles.
Still thinking about next week, to be honest.
Yeah, I've probably got one eye on next week.
Concentration levels will be up next week. The mind's probably been there. Now we're going to match play and it's a different kind of thing.
Good day to you, Ewan.
Good day, Rob. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, looking forward to this very much. Let's reflect on what happened at Celtic Manor, first of all. Joost Luiten, a tremendous player. Surely a Ryder Cup player in the waiting.
Well, I have to say, at the start of the year, I thought Luiten would have forced his way into McGinley's side. And he started well, he started strongly, he's finished strongly, but sadly there was just a little bit of loss of form in the middle of the year.
I guess if you were looking for the form horse for this event, he was top five in his last two outings. He was the smart money.
Certainly, and Jai Dee, another player who has won the Celtic Manor Wales Open, he was up there contending for quite a while last week. But Luiten, a very worthy winner, and these four victories now make up a good career, and he's still a very young man.
What's the thing about his game that you like the most?
I think he's one of the top five swingers in the game of golf today, not just on the European Tour. He's technically sound. I just think he probably needs to putt a little better more often than he does right now.
Chipping's not his favourite thing. It's fair to say he does putt from off the green a lot.
I often think these two things go together, and you're probably right. If he was to look at the pitching and the chipping first time round, it may take some of the strain off his putting. But we're talking about fractions here. He's very close to being a top player.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that the latest winner on the European Tour has joined us on the line. Joost Luiten, a very busy man, and currently in transit, Joost.
Yes, I'm on my way home now, so it's good to go home and have a good party tonight.
What was yesterday like? Because you got off to a very tough start.
It was a tough day. It was windy out there as well. You know, when you're leading a tournament, it's always different than when you're chasing. And I just had a bad start. I was a bit shaky. Bad three putt on the first, and then I missed a short putt on the second as well. Yeah, and then the two shots that I had, I get it straight back to the field. And you just need to settle down, calm down, and then try to play your game again.
Were you keeping an eye on the leaderboards as you were going around, as you'd had the bad start, to see if anyone was sneaking up on you, or if they were all coming running for you?
Yeah, no, I always like to look at the leaderboards, and I made two bogeys, and I was still tied for the lead with some other guys. So I knew that if I play well for the next 16 holes, I got control over the tournament if I play well myself. And nobody really ran away from the pack, and I think that was the main thing, that it was everything was so close to each other that if you make a couple birdies, you can go a couple ahead again and then take control from there. And I made a couple good birdies at 11 and 12, and that gave me that little bit of air that I needed.
Joost, we often hear about players not looking at leaderboards. Why would they do that?
I don't know. I mean, I think you want to know what's going on around you. You want to know if you need to, you know, make birdies, or if you can play a little bit more safe, or, you know, I like to know what I need to do. I think other guys maybe get nervous when they see the leaderboard, or I don't know. But for me, I think you have to know what's going on so you can react to what's going on the leaderboard.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to go. All the top players seem to do that, Joost. You had to react during the year because you're in a position maybe to make the Ryder Cup, and it didn't work out for you in the summer.
No, I had a bad couple of weeks of a bad 2 months at the end of the qualification for the Ryder Cup, and it's very tough to qualify. And if you have two bad months in a year, in the qualification year, you're going to struggle to make the team. And I just came up short, and it was a tough one. But that's part of the job, you know.
Yes, yeah, so close. Joost, what will you be doing this week when the Europeans and the Americans lock horns at Gleneagles?
I will be just watching it from home and just on television. So nothing special.
Who's your best mate on the team that's made the team, Joost?
I like Jamie Donaldson.
He's done very well, hasn't he? He's done very well in terms of his consistency.
Oh, he's had a great year, and I think he's going to do really well. He's got good form. He played well in Wales as well, and I think he's going to be a very good man in the team.
Who's going to win, Joost?
I think it will be a very tight match, but of course I hope Europe is going to win it again. But I think it will be coming down to the last couple of singles on Sunday.
Congratulations on your most recent win, Joost, and you'll be looking forward to Hazeltine in 2016. Hopefully you'll be in the side then.
I hope so too. Thanks, guys.
Well, great to speak to Joost there, Ewan. And, you know, a very rounded, well-balanced young fella.
For sure. And that's reflected the way he plays the game. He plays the game with calmness. He lives his life with calmness. And that's why I think he's got a great future.
Well, some stats on Joost. It's his fourth European Tour international scheduled victory in his 154th European Tour event. His first win since the KLM Open last year. So that's, well, sort of 12 months-ish. And victory comes in his third appearance in the ISPS Handa Wales Open, where he previously finished second and fourth, another reason why perhaps he was a really good pick. Some bright people would, of course, backed him.
That is also very true. Yes. But, you know, I've often looked at players and they do play well in certain parts of the year. There are players in the United States PGA Tour that enjoy the first 3 or 4 months. Some don't. And if you look at Loughton's victories, many of them have come in the autumn.
Yeah, a brilliant win for Joost Loughton. But let's hear from one of the runners-up, Tommy Fleetwood. His hopes of winning went awry at the 13th when he had a double bogey, but the Englishman finished really strongly with 4 birdies and an eagle in the last 5.
Once I dropped to 7, I mean, it was just try your best on the last few, try and get back to level for the day or under par. I knew I'd been finishing strong on the last few holes, so that was just try and get to level or 1 under for the day, and that was all my thinking was. And you never expect to finish that high, and it was just really nice to play. All of a sudden, you're on the last tee, and you've got a chance of winning the tournament, and it's a great feeling to be in. And I, you know, the best part of it for me was the 2 quality shots, 8 into 18. They were, you know, the best drive and best 6 iron of the week they were. So when you can do that under that pressure, and obviously it was a shame about the putt, but it wasn't the easiest of putts. And you know, that I was really pleased with how I played the last hole.
He's only a little fella, Tommy, you know, driving a 6 iron into that last hole, same as Nicholas Coulthart's.
Yeah, tremendous clubhead speed, Tommy, and what a finish. It's not often you ever finish like that in a tournament.
The golf course must get some credit because, you know, with the drivable 15th and the par 5 18th, a lot can happen at the end, and it did.
So important to have a balanced finish, an exciting finish. And if you've got a par 3 or a par 5, there are chances of double bogeys. For the par 5, there's chances of eagles. And, of course, you can manage to make a 2 at a par 3. But when you've got 2 holes in the last 4 that you can eagle, and some did, then, of course, you've got a recipe for success.
Yeah, you sure have. OK, and alongside Fleetwood in second was Shane Lowry. He, too, had a chance of winning as he teed off on 18, but the Irishman found that hard to believe.
The golf I played today, I don't think I deserved to have a chance going down the last to get into a playoff. But, yeah, I suppose, you know, I look back and it was a decent week. I feel pretty good at now, to be honest. But, you know, that's golf and juice hung in there well, and he made a great par in 17 and a great par in the last, and, you know, fair play to him, and, you know, he's a worthy winner, I suppose.
Yeah, a sort of grudging acceptance of the loss, because no one likes to lose, and Lowry's star is continuing to rise. He is surely going to be a Ryder Cup player of the future, and more wins will be coming his way as well. Now, we had 4 players in action on the 2010 course in Wales who will be representing Europe this week in the Ryder Cup, and one of them didn't make the cut. Stephen Gallagher bogeyed 7 holes on Thursday in his 7-over-par round of 78. Here's what he had to say on Friday after a 1-under-par round of 70 couldn't save him.
Well, yesterday was quite tough. Maybe trying a wee bit too hard, or, you know, still thinking about next week, to be honest. Nothing to do with technique or anything like that. You know, I feel good. I'm physically good and I'm mentally good, so really looking forward to next week now.
Just sort of brush that performance away, Ewan, and get stuck into the Ryder Cup this week for Stephen?
I think he would have enjoyed the 36 holes. Probably would have wanted 72, but second round was good. Nothing wrong with a 1-under-par 70.
No, absolutely. And the other 3 players who are in the Ryder Cup side have mixed fortunes. Jamie Donaldson played very well again. He was one of those players who tied for 4th at 12-under-par. Thomas Bjorn ended 58th, tied. He parred all 18 holes in his third round, Thomas, while a 5-over-par final round of 76 left Lee Westwood finished tied for 60th. Let's hear from the now. Jamie first.
Hit great shots into 15 for a birdie. Great shot into 16. I thought I'd made the putt. And then 17, hit a great shot in. And 18, it was a great up and down after what was a huge flyer at the semi. So happy the way I've played. You know, I've played sort of week on, week off for the last sort of 5 weeks. It's funny, you know, as long as you play this game, as long as I've played this game, you still don't know exactly when to take weeks on and weeks off, but I guess I got it right this time.
Well, I needed to play and I needed to play some competitive golf, so I've done that. Yeah, a few good shots. Not so good today, but, you know, I've probably got 1 iron next week. I don't think the concentration, the focus was there. So, yeah, looking forward to getting there tonight and preparing for Friday when it starts.
Played pretty well on the weekend and just never really got scoring and quite a let me down a little bit, but concentration levels will be up next week and the mind's probably been there a little bit as well. So, you know, this game was pretty good on the weekend and that's what I take with me here. Now we're going to match play and it's a different kind of thing.
Well, the one thing, Ewan, they've got right there between the three of them is that their concentration levels will be up this week at Gleneagles.
For sure. When you get on that first tee, and I'm talking about Tuesday, I'm not talking about Friday, and you have 45,000 people there and you take a look around you and this is what you work for, this is why you practice. All the hours you spend on the range is for that moment and they'll be fine.
They will. A big, massive wraparound stand on that first tee. The noise level, I think, this year will break all records. It's going to be unbelievable. Well, tips from last week, and you and my absence, were rather spectacular. Warren Humphreys went for Tommy Fleetwood, who finished with those birdies and eagles in the last five holes. He finished tied second. And Dan Roebuck, who, may I say, spends a lot of time analysing stats, and it would have not been unnoticed by him that the two top fives at this golf course before this year for Joost Luiten and the two top fives before this week for Joost Luiten produced the winner. So Dan Roebuck, a worthy top tipster. Anyway, let's have the top 10 on the leaderboard at the 2014 ISPS Hander Wales Open, please, Ewan.
Good finish for the Frenchman, Romain Wattel, just inside the top 10, tied in ninth place. Robert Rock was also in ninth. Good to see him return to form. It's been a quiet spell. And Andrea Pavan, well, his final round 67 after a 65 on Saturday pushed him right inside the top 10. It's taken him to 120th in the race to Dubai. Eduardo Molinari would have enjoyed his return to Celtic Manor, a second round 63 there. And he was one of five players tied in fourth place that included Nicholas Coulthard, another one who's struggling to keep his card, but not now. Coulthard's now inside the top 80. Lowry Fleetwood in tied second, and of course the winner from Holland, Joost Luiten.
Beautifully done. What about the race to Dubai standings? Top 10 in that, please, Ewan.
Well, the win from Joost Luiten takes him into 10th place, so quite a big jump for the man from the Netherlands. Stephen Gallagher occupies 9, De Buys on 8, ahead of him, Rose and Keimer, major champions there. Stenson, the winner of the race to Dubai last year, and the top four are Thomas Bjorn, Jamie Donaldson, Sergio Garcia, and by quite a bit at the top, the world's number one, Rory McIlroy.
And how do the European stacked top 10 in the world rankings look?
Well, Ricky Fowler is in 10th place, just ahead of him, fellow countryman Matt Kuchar. Jason Day, back to form, back to fitness, occupies 8th. Bubba Watson, the Masters champion, in 7. Two-time winner this year, Justin Rose, just outside the top 5. And that top 5 is Stenson, Furyk, Garcia with these fine performances in the autumn, and the only two players ahead of Sergio are Adam Scott and Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, it's a tremendous top 10, isn't it? Well, some news before we move on. Rory McIlroy's wins at the Open and the US PGA have led him to being named the PGA of America Player of the Year, as well as the Vardon Trophy winner, which is awarded to the player with the leading scoring average on the PGA Tour. Also this past week, it's been confirmed that the Rory Foundation, which raises funds for children's charities around the world, will be the official sponsor of next year's Irish Open at Royal County Down, so that's a tremendous thing they got going. Rory Foundation and the Irish Open locked together. Paul Westling of England won his first title of the season at the Winston Golf Senior Open in Vorbeck, denying home favourite Bernard Langer at the third hole of a sudden-death playoff, which was also contested with Phil Golding. And on the Challenge Tour, Sam Hutsby claimed a two-stroke maiden win at the Kazakhstan Open. That's a big one to win on the Challenge Tour. It's worth much gold, and it certainly bodes well for inclusion in the race to Dubai next year. And so we've reached the moment in the golfing calendar which we have been looking forward to ever since that most enthralling of sporting occasions at Medina 2 years ago, the 2014 Ryder Cup at Gleneagles. Well, it's finally here, Ewan. Gosh, there's been a lot of hype with this one. You know, with the picks and the two captains, the different styles and the golf course we're going to play, it's going to be mega.
Yeah, and a very different golf course than the one Jack Nicklaus designed, the one that was opened in 1993. There's been a lot of changes since then, with the Ryder Cup in mind. And my wish would be that many of the games would go to the end, because they've spent a lot of money, a lot of time, they've used a lot of imagination for that par 5 18, and I hope it sees plenty of action.
What's going to be the thing that you're looking forward to seeing the most?
You know, when the bell rings at the Ryder Cup, you're never quite sure what's going to happen. I don't think anyone does know what's going to happen, but there'll be highs and lows, there'll be ebbs and flows, as there have been down the years, and Gleneagles will be no different. Two very good sides, two sides, I think, that are quite difficult to separate.
What about the contrast in the two captains?
Couldn't be further. You've got Tom Watson, who I've said before is like a Harry Redknapp. He's the sort of man who's going to say, you just get out there and play the way that got you into this team in the first place. McGinley will be like Jose Mourinho. He will have left no stone unturned. He's quite statistical. That's the way he wants to be. It's the way he naturally is. So that's going to be his strength, and the strength of Watson will be the opposite.
And how much of a factor will the home crowd be for the Europeans?
If you talk to all of the players who have played in Ryder Cups down the years, a lot of them, people like Monty, people like Westwood, they will tell you playing at home is 10 times easier than it is playing away. So you've got to think that Paul McGinley's side will be dragged along by the 45,000 that will be there every day.
Of course, if you're Watson, you're telling your players that, you know, the great thing is you have the ability to go out there and silence the crowd.
Yes, and then it works in the favour of the United States, and then it's very difficult for the Europeans to get up again. So that's going to be a big thing. I always think in the Ryder Cup, the start is vitally important.
The first session?
The first session. If you get yourself up in the first session and you have two or three winning partnerships, it makes the decisions easier for that afternoon. Should they win again, it makes the decisions easier for the Saturday. But should you lose two and a half, three matches in the opening session, then it becomes extremely tough.
Four balls are the first session on the opening morning on Friday. What's the key thing to playing four balls well?
The Americans down the years have always put a Zach Johnson with a Bubba Watson. That's not really the way forward. In four balls, you really need two balls in play, as far as Europe or United States are concerned. It's no good having one hitting it a long way and in the middle of the rough and not able to make a par, because then it puts the pressure on the one who's hit the fairway. The important thing in the four balls is to always be in play, always be ready if you're required.
So the sort of previous thinking, ham and egging, you know, when I have a bad hole, you have a good hole, that's really not it, is it?
No, when that happens, it's wonderful. And you look back and think, weren't we fortunate there? He had six birdies, I had six birdies, and we won 5 and 4. How often does that happen? Not very often.
Pretty rare. And then, of course, you go to the afternoon and it's a complete turnaround with foursomes. Completely different discipline.
Well, the other thing that's difficult for the players is the foursomes is such a much quicker way of playing golf. They've been out there probably, if the match goes the full distance, 5.5, 5.75 hours in four balls when you accommodate the 45,000 fans. Then you go out there in the afternoon in foursomes and the match can be over in just over 3 hours. So they have to pace themselves, they have to change the thought process, and that's something the captains will have instilled into all of them.
The days of Seve and Ollie, they're a long time past now, but I mean, when I think about how they used to play and the kind of gamesmanship that went on, do you think that's still a part of a modern day Ryder Cup?
I think there's too much pressure to have gamesmanship, and I think the players are too nervous, to be perfectly honest. You may get the odd look from Bubba Watson because Bubba's different from everyone else. You may get the odd look from Thomas Bjorn because Thomas is different from everyone else. But I think in general, they know they're very much part of a team, and everything they do is to support the team, not to let them down.
Now, you've played top-class golf in your career, so I'm going to ask you, you're Ewan Murray, you're now going to make an appearance in the four balls on Friday morning with that crowd around that first tee. How do you possibly prepare for that?
Some people embrace that and it makes them calmer. Really top players under the most intense pressure get calmer, whereas players who are maybe not quite in that bracket will go the other way, and it's how they cope with these nerves. But I don't think any of these 24 players, or certainly the 16 players that will start the first session on Friday, will feel the same as one another. All will deal with it in a different way.
Is it possible to have fun?
The Americans will say we had fun because it's a phrase they've invented, but standing on the first tee will be no fun at all. The fun starts when you shake hands and you've won 3 and 2. That's fun.
Well, of course, a big part of what happens at Gleneagles will be down to the two captains, Tom Watson and Paul McGinley. Let's hear from them. Paul McGinley first.
I think we're slight favourites, but we have been favourites before in Ryder Cups. It's not like this is the first time ever. And I did a little bit of a calculation myself when the two teams were formulated, and Tom's team, his average rank and position was 16 and ours was 18. So we know that it's going to be a very tough contest ahead of us. Medina was a big learning curve for me personally, where we were really getting a wallop in the first 2 days. And that was the first time I was in that situation, and I learned a lot from Jose Maria, how the decisions he made and structures he put in place to give us the best chance of getting out of the hole that we were in. So it was a big learning curve for us, and looking back on it now, it was a great experience.
This trip is a redemption trip. Those players who played in that team, many of them are on this team. It's time to make amends, try to redeem yourselves from what happened in 2012, and I think it's a motivation rather than a negative. When all is said and done, it's 12 guys out there trying to win a point each match. 8 guys in the first 4 matches but then in the Sunday, 12 guys are trying to win a point. And basically all you have to do is win a point and a half for the entire matches and you win the Ryder Cup. And that's the bottom line. That's what I'm telling my players.
Well, it's good to hear from both captains, and obviously both men are quietly confident in their own way. They're going to have to prepare their players to play this golf course well. Quite a sporty finish, rather like last week at the 2010, two par fives in the last three holes, and the 15th hole, not an easy par for
you. You know, the difficulty is with match play, how many matches will actually go to 16, 17 and 18. And as I said, I hope the matches go to 18 because of the effort they've put in to achieve what is, as you call, a sporty finish. There could be eagles at 18. They can move the tee up. They can move the tee up there so they're playing three and four irons. And that's the great thing about match play. You don't have to mess around with everything in stroke play because it's a par five and it's a par four and it's a par three. But in match play, it really doesn't matter. They could also do the same at 16. They could move the tee 20 yards up there. It's going to be windy, should the wind be in the face, and that would be southwest. Very possible they could move the tee up there and encourage the big hitters in the four balls to take the water on and take that small target on at 18.
And you've got what you like as well, a par three involved in S17.
Yes, and probably the best hole on the course, 17. Certainly the prettiest hole on that golf course. A green that lies across you, tight left pin position brings the left-hand bunker into play. Pin on the right side brings the grassy bank into play. And you know, at that point, if a match has gone that far, nerve ends are very raw, so mistakes can be made.
Does the golf course suit the longer hitters?
Without any question. If you look at the winners there, you go back to the Scottish PGA when it was there, when it was won by Paul Casey and it was won by Adam Scott. Adam Scott was 22 under par for the par fives, and Adam Scott was one of the power players then, still is. Casey's never been short of length. He won there as well. And you look at some of the players, most of the ones that have played well around there send the ball a fair distance off the tee.
And I believe the fairways are a sort of same standard European Tour fair, but the rough is quite lush.
A little juicy. They've put some fertiliser on that under McGinley's comments that he wanted the course set out that way, which he's quite entitled to do, being the home captain. But he's left the fairways as they've been in the Scottish PGA, the Johnny Walker Championship. And if you find the fairways, you have no problems at all. But any ball in the rough, and it's unlikely, I say unlikely, you'll manage to hit the green in regulation.
Who is going to be the top point scorer from both sides?
You have to look at the world's number one player, who in the last 4 months has just been quite exceptional. And you would think that McIlroy, you would expect him to play five, which is another thing you have to look at when you look at the high point scorer. I would say Ricky Fowler is probably favourite for the United States. I would say McIlroy is favourite for Europe.
That's very boring because I had the same two names in the top of my head.
Well, it's great because the tips next week, we can be first equal.
We could be first equal. Yeah, I think McIlroy for the Europeans and Fowler for the Americans. But who overall then, the top point scorer from the match?
There's only one player, Larry Nelson, has made five out of five in the Ryder Cup. I think that was back at Walton Heath in 81. So it's a very difficult thing to do. And how many players play five matches? Very few.
Very true.
If McIlroy was to play five, it's probably because he's played the earlier ones well. So you would expect him to go and continue there.
And of course, everyone's waiting to see, with all the news that filters through in golf media, whether Rory's going to play with his previous teammate, Graham McDowell.
I don't think that will happen, personally, but I may well be well off the mark there. I would put McIlroy with Victor Dubois. I see them as similar players. They hit the ball a long way off the tee. They're neat, they're tidy, they don't have any real weakness. And I think it's important to have a rookie alongside, I wouldn't say an experienced veteran, because at 25 you couldn't call McIlroy that, but he knows the ropes of the Ryder Cup, and I think that combination would be strong.
Tell you what, if you put Dubois on and McIlroy out in the four balls on the Friday, you don't hide them off in the fourth match, you stick them out match number one.
Well, and I think that's right.
Why not?
As well, number one, why shouldn't you go out there?
Yeah, you should be just, come on, let's have it. It's going to be a fantastic 3 days. It always is. It's remarkable that we wait 2 years to just watch 3 days of sport, but it's around the corner. It's on our doorstep. We can't wait. Before we go, Ewan, this is a head decision and not a heart decision. Who do you think is going to win?
I don't think anyone will win. I think it will be a draw.
A draw? You can get tasty odds on it. I think 10 to 1 in a draw.
It was a little more than that. I've already done that.
You've already done that, have you? 14 all, so Europe retain.
Europe would retain the Ryder Cup, yes. They wouldn't win it. They would retain it. America would have to wait 2 years to get it back at Hazeltine. I think there's been a lot talked about Europe being strong favourites and the Americans being the underdogs. I don't think that's the case. You look at the American team, 12 of them and the lowest world ranking is 33 Webb Simpson. 12 players in the top 33. That's never going to be an easy task to beat them.
No, and I think with everything having gone Europe's way so far, with the big hitters in the world rankings, the European, we've got the world number one. On Tom Watson's side, he didn't get Horschel in the team. He didn't get Chris Kirk in the team. You know, things seem to be against America and very pro-Europe. But despite that, I believe that the absence of Woods is going to give that cohesion to the 12 players of the American side. They come in as underdogs, nothing to lose, all guns blazing. I just think the Americans could pull out a surprise here.
Well, in the only time they've won this century, Woods didn't play in 2008. And you're right, you look at the Europeans, they have four of the top five in the world, but they have three players that are outside the top 33 in the world. So I find it very difficult to separate them. I think we have two wonderful captains who will do their nations proud. I think the 24 players will do the same, but I can't separate Europe from the United States.
No, it's going to be another week where I've got no fingernails left at the end of it, just biting my fingers, because it's just extraordinary how you get involved in it. It's going to be a fantastic match. Ewan, thank you very much. That's it for this week. Next week, we will be recording the Race to Dubai show at Gleneagles and reviewing all the action, so be sure to join us for that. We also look ahead to the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship at St Andrews. It's going to be a wonderful 3 days. Make sure you enjoy it. Ewan and I will, that's for sure. Have a fantastic Ryder Cup week from Ewan Murray. It's
goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, Robert Lee.